Somewhere in the dark and nasty regions where nobody goes, stands an ancient castle. Deep within this dank and uninviting place lives...
From FC United of Manchester Radio, Swampy.
Hello.
Overworked servant of the thing upstairs.
Feed me.
But that's nothing compared to the horrors that lurk beneath the trapdoor. For there is always something down there, in the dark, waiting to come out.
Don't you open that trapdoor?
You're a fool if you dare.
Stay away from that trapdoor.
Cause there's something down there.
We're back! Happy New Year! It's a welcome return to Swampy's Red Rebel Radio. And what would this show be without Swampy? It'd be called Red Rebel Radio, wouldn't it? But this week it's called Swampy's Red Rebel Radio. And he joins us now, live from Belgium. Swampy, hello!
Good afternoon to you, Benjamin. And good evening and good morning, good welcome, everybody else around the world or indeed around your living room. I was thinking though, Ben, the way you introduced the show there is suggesting that this obviously is indeed Swampy's Red Rebel Radio, but it sounds like you've been moonlighting and using the name Red Rebel Radio without me as a show anyway.
No. I've not been doing anything. And that leads me to my first point, dear listener at home. This show is not for your benefit. If you don't like what you hear, don't get in touch. This show's not for you. This is purely for me and Swampy to do something productive with our lives at this difficult time.
It indeed is, Ben, and I concur. So if we're just keeping it really down, dumbing it down for, well, the average FC United supporter.
Again, don't get in touch. What we're going to be discussing on Red Rebel Radio, we're hoping this is going to be a regular show that we're doing while football's not on. Obviously, normally, we'd have a tourist guide, we'd be previewing Saturday's fixture. Who were we playing on Saturday? Was it Bamber Bridge we were meant to be playing?
Bamber Bridge, and it's interesting, Ben, because it's one of the last few games I saw before lockdown.
Yeah, we're rubbish. I remember.
It wasn't the greatest of games, but it was a spectacle because, if you remember rightly, I brought over a couple of friends from Belgium that met the players and they met Neil. They'd also been introduced to pies, chips, Bovril, and the delights of Vimto. And the highlight, I think, on that occasion, on that particular day at Bamber Bridge, was indeed the chips. And in fairness, it has to be said, they were absolutely blown away by the FC United travelling support, even though we were very poor and got absolutely pummeled on the day.
And the chips.
Yeah, well, we didn't get pulled by chips. Although I reckon, to be honest, on the day, they could have put maybe a couple of, King Edwards and, a Maris Piper in midfield, and they still would have beat us.
Maris Piper, who did he play for? So there's no fixture preview or anything like that for this weekend. But what we're going to be doing is setting the scene about where we are at the moment with non-league football. And for those people who've got withdrawal symptoms from not going outside or anything like that, we're going to be joined by a special guest shortly for our brand new feature, The Bus Routes of Greater Manchester.
Indeed. the person in question who's going to be discussing it is not Paul the Pen, as much as he'd like to do maybe Bus Routes of the Isle of Man. Maybe that's a segment we can visit in the near future. And obviously, we'll definitely have one listener in Keg, because for those listeners out there that won't know this, but Paul the Pen used to send us bus routes and timetables from the Isle of Man over to the UK. And when I was lodging with Keg many a year ago, we did have a laugh and a chuckle. And it was something that we used to talk about on FC Radio a lot. So we brought it back more centrally, more localised, so people, if they do want to get the bus, which obviously you can only do now in the UK and certainly in Manchester, if you're going to work, you can't go out for pleasure, there's none of that anymore.
God bless the bus drivers, they're still driving around, still sticking to the timetables and all that. I like to think of that as a sign of a civilised society, where an empty bus drives past with a driver on it, sticking to his timetable. Even though there's no one on it, he's sticking to his timetable. And that's what this feature's all about, I think.
Well, true, Ben, but to be honest, let's be honest here. If we do, as is predicted, have this fourth industrial revolution and the reset, we won't have any bus drivers. It'll be electric. and we'll be taken to our destination with a voiceless cockpit.
Has that been developed by Skynet or something like that?
This will be a very welcomed segment when we get onto it, because it will be a human telling us about the beauty of the bus rather than a robot.
I'm looking forward to the robot shouting at me, saying, "Get behind the line. You're too far forward. Get behind the line. Did you ring the bell?" Anyway,
yes. There's going to be none of that, because basically you'll sit down and there'll be a laser beam pointing at your bonds. And if you haven't put in your clipper card correctly, then I'm afraid that's it. Boom, you've gone. Cards.
Well, we'll be discussing bus routes shortly, and we'll double that up as a tourist guide for Greater Manchester for those people who aren't getting out as much as they'd like to, and hopefully that'll cheer you up as the show
yes.
progresses. But before that, just a quick mention for non-league football. We're at FC United, currently season suspended. That's everything from step three of non-league all the way down. But we're joined this weekend by step two Swampy, which is novel.
Yeah, it's a welcome return, isn't it? We're all like one family again. The reason why it's been called off is because they haven't got the financial package that they were hoping to, and the realisation is that they can't afford to continue. They should have joined forces with the rest of the non-league football. And
let's be fair, if we were in the National League North still and we'd had assurances at the start of the season, don't worry, you'll get grant funding or have supporters in place. At this point of the season, having spent money on contracts and, you know, building a squad and all that, we get to January and then all of a sudden the rug's been pulled and those assurances fizzle out somewhere. We'd be livid right now.
Oh, yes, listen, of course we would be livid, but I think initially we would be in negotiations and discussions for the greater good of everybody opposed to just the individual football clubs. And I think this is the thing, you see, collective bargaining, working together, and if it doesn't benefit one, and if you're a group of 30, say, 20 or 24 teams, and one team is not going to benefit from them and actually going to be a detriment to them, all 23 other teams should stand by that club, and basically everybody then should stand together. I mean, it's amazing, Ben, isn't it? I have empathy for the supporter opposed to most other things. I think if clubs had come together at the beginning, worked together as a unit, then we wouldn't be in this situation. But we are in this situation. It is a shame. I know the vast majority, and I might be wrong in this, but my assumption would be that if you're playing National League North or National League, certainly National League, that you would be a contracted footballer, because there are pretty much all full-time. So for those footballers, they'll be looked after, you would expect. But they're in the same boat as everybody else, you know. I mean, footballers, to a certain degree, are quite lucky that they have two forms of income on a lot of occasions, which might only round up to one decent income for some. But equally, it is a shame, but at the same token, we should have, I say, collectively bargained at the very beginning, made sure that everyone was going to be looked after. You can't trust COVID. We never knew it was going to last this long, and it's going to continue to last this long. The league, really, it's very, very simple. I mean, we should have just shut down straight away. I mean, we wouldn't be in this situation. Every club would know where they stand. Financial packages could put in place, and we wouldn't be discussing it and having to discuss it week in, week out.
It's cheaper, surely, to have the grant rather than have furloughed staff and furloughed contracts on the government's books, which is what they're going to have now with these National League clubs.
Well, listen, the government flip and flop week in, week out when it comes to, you know, COVID, the response, staying, don't go out. You go back to school, then the day after, what happens? Everyone's off school again. A grant would be the situation that you would look to. But you'd also be looking to not only the government, but you'd be looking, football should look to itself first and foremost. And let's just take the government out of the equation for a second. There's plenty money, enough to facilitate and look after every football club in this country with the money that is flying around in football today. The deals that were done that will be done in January, the money that will be generated and spent by clubs in January would keep the whole of semi-professional football going probably for about 10 years. I mean, we don't know how much has been spent yet because we're in the middle of January, and we'll wait and see. So there's so much money available, people are still waiting to know what's going on. So football itself should have looked after itself, and I think we've missed a huge opportunity for football to really come together and work as one unit. Football has far, far too much money not to be able to sort this situation out.
Yes, I think I already know the answer, but just for the listeners' benefit, what's your preferred outcome to this season now?
My outcome would be the season's, the points collated, keep them, start the season in maybe July, have a couple. I think I had this all written down, and it was actually it seemed to start making sense. And if I thought it started making sense, and then I got a couple of people saying, yeah, that's not a bad idea. Football has a chance again to change things. And I mean, I think we could actually start in July. We could play all our early cup competitions, first round, second round, so on and so forth, in the month of July, and use them like as a pre-season. Then we could have the semis and finals later in the season. We could have 2 weeks off then in January, and then carry the season on till about April, and then May and June off, back in July, and that's where we go. But as far as the season is concerned, for me, the season should end, and we start again when it's right and proper to do so. Do you nil and void everything from this season? Well, I think so, because it's all been in and out. Teams have had people off ill with COVID, and we've seen how football hasn't really been of great, great quality. Equally, we've seen teams battering teams that you'd never normally see, you know, in the very top divisions, going all the way down to ours and below. So I would just null and void the whole season, start again. But if we can get a chance to start it in July, starting in July, and start a new format, and then maybe move that format going forward. I mean, even if teams win the league in a convoluted season, and then the division above or the division below don't quite get their seasons finished, then you're going to have the massive arguments and legal battles about who's going up and who's going down. So I think we just kill it stone dead now, come back when it's appropriate, and then start from there, because that's come July, we would hope and expect to be in a much better state. And if we are, we start. If we're not, we just don't start. It's as simple as that. I mean, people's lives are more important. As I say, football has enough money to look after itself, but it hasn't. And, you know, I would be, if I was a chair of a league, and any semi-professional league or professional league outside the Premier League, I'd be knocking on the door saying, look, there's so much money within this swimming around. Yes, the product is you, but you've benefited from players coming through the non-league ranks over the years, be it the Football League, be it the Premier League. It's time to keep football alive and do not kill the grassroots and what people love. I mean, we've seen it, haven't we? How much people have enjoyed watching the likes of Marine, the likes of Chorley in the FA Cup, third round, fourth round. It's fantastic. So people do love the semi-professional football. So it's about time at some stage that somebody within the football pyramid at the very top said, look, we need to help our fellow footballers, be it male, be it female, be it disability teams. There's enough money to provide and look after every single one of them. That's the way it should work. I mean, it's not going to happen. I'm realistic to realise that. So we're going to be left with a grant of about £4.56.
Wouldn't even get your clipper card, Swampy. Wouldn't even get your clipper card back in the day, that.
No, exactly, yeah. That's right. You'd have to jib on the bus, and then you probably get laser beamed by the electronic conductor when he gets on.
And that takes us now to our brand new feature on Red Rebel Radio, Swampy's Red Rebel Radio. And that's where we discuss the bus routes of Greater Manchester. And without further ado, it's now time to dial in to our bus expert. What are we calling him? Is he here? Burkey, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hello,
Burkey. Hang on.
Well, let's welcome to the show then our new bus correspondent for Greater Manchester. It's Mr. Ian Burke, everyone, from 26 Hill. Hello.
Oh, hello, everybody. Burkey here with the latest bus news from Greater Manchester. Fantastic stuff, yes.
No,
tremendous.
Hold on a second.
It weren't me real voice, that. I was just doing a really sort of geeky bus spotter voice. This is me, really.
Burkey, you've come on to help us, basically, because we're struggling for content, and we will be over the next few weeks as well. So,
Ben, be nice. We brought him on because he's a wealth of knowledge, and we love him.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with... We couldn't be bothered to think of anything else to do with the show, so we get Burkey.
So, what bus route have you got for us this week, Burkey?
Well, Ben, there are many classic bus routes throughout the North West. Manchester's not really blessed with the cream of the crop, but we do have a few of them. One of them being the 184 from Manchester, from Alden Street all the way to Huddersfield. 2 hours plus, and it's fantastic the whole way through.
And for FCers out there, some of them might have got on this bus because it goes up Alden Road, doesn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. And up through Newton Heath and along there on its way up to Oldham.
Can I ask a question for the novice? What are you drinking then, Ben? Is that a bottle of wine? Have you started early, haven't you?
It's Evian. It's just water.
It's Evian. You buy water. Listen, I'm not being funny, but basically you were 2 centimetres off being completely flooded yesterday. There was more water than you could ever drink, and you've got bottled. Bottled water. You do know, by the way, and we'll come back to Berkey in a second, but you do know that if it actually gone an extra 2 centimetres, then we're going to use Boris Johnson as the last sandbag. Anyway, Berkey, as a novice on the 184, the question I want to know is, what bus stop would you get it from in Oldham Street?
Oh, you get it from the one just outside. Oh, blimey, what was that pub called? The Something Pig on the corner, just past Morrison's.
The Something Pig, right, okay.
Next to Cash Generator. It's outside
Oxfam. It's outside Oxfam, isn't it?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Cash Generator, thank you. And what time can I expect to be waiting?
Under normal circumstances, it's an hourly bus, although there is a shorter version which stops off somewhere in Oldham, one of the estates up there, but I'm not too sure what it's called. Oh, is it every 2 hours now at the moment? I don't know. It's every hour or every 2 hours, but it's well worth waiting for.
And Berkey, when I asked you, right, pick a bus route, any bus route you want, you pick the 184. Why, Berkey?
I picked the 184 because you get a good mix of city, countryside and town. You get the whole shebang in 1 2-hour bus route. It's great. You start off in centre of Manchester, then you carry on up there through whatever's past Newton Heath, I don't know, somewhere, Failsworth or something like that. And you get to Oldham, Oldham Mumps and all that. I mean, how many towns have a bus station named after a contagious disease, eh? I can't think of any. None at all. You don't have Rochdale Rubella, do you? From Oldham, you carry on up through Leeds and Springhead. You go near Watersheddings, the old ground for Oldham Rugby League. Anyway, you carry on up there, and before you know it, you're in, blimey, what's it called? Groton. You get up the top of Groton, and you sort of crest the brow a little bit, and then you start to get into the trees a little bit, and you come over to Greenfield, which I'm sure you all know.
Oh, Greenfield's beautiful, yes. Yeah.
Well, normally footballers know Greenfield very well because it's where Duffstone's Reservoir is and the hills there, which all non-league managers make you run up to make you gain fitness during pre-season, although it just breaks your spirit, really. That's what I heard.
Berkey, though, it sounds delightful up to this point, but isn't the 184 one of those buses which you kind of lose the will to live halfway around?
No, what, Ben? No, you lose the will to live at the start. When you're going through Miles Platy. you go past, what's that fantastic pub called? The Marble Arch.
Talking of the Marble Arch, I actually saw a picture 2 days ago of the Marble Arch surrounded what can only be described as monstrosities of buildings all being put up in front of them. I mean, it's like this little blob on the landscape now, but surrounded by huge buildings for, I don't know, people to come and live that basically aren't from Manchester. It looks horrendous.
At least they've kept the pub, though. That's good. It's not like the old days where they would have tore it down.
Yeah, it's not Tommy Ducks. Mm. The question is, Berkey, though, I mean, as nice as this is, and we've actually already realised that this segment is funnier than anything we've done so far, and therefore you're not coming on next week. You're too good. How much is it? How much is a round trip? If you've got one of these bus tickets that gets you anywhere, can you use it on this bus, or do you have to get halfway and then you've got to use another bus ticket? And if you haven't got a bus ticket, how much is it going to cost you to get on there using the old moolah, proper hard form cash? And you pay the driver, and on you get. And more importantly, can you use a clipper card?
Well, clipper cards were phased out about 20 years ago, Swampy.
What?
So, no, you can't use one of them.
No!
So that's a possibility. Oh, Ben, sorry, mate.
Oh, how do the teenagers get on buses nowadays, Berkey? What's that about?
I think they just blag it.
Oh, dear.
I think they get on very loudly and play music from their phones at the back of the bus, annoying everyone. But anyway.
Berkey, just before you go,
he's not going. He's not answered the question yet, how much it costs.
Oh, yeah, sorry. That question was so long, I've forgotten about it. Go on, Berkey, sorry.
Well, despite it crossing county borders, it's a regular day ticket. It used to be first buses. I'm not sure it's still them that do it anymore because they sold their Manchester garage last year to, or the year before, sorry, to Go North West. So I'm not sure who runs the bus anymore, but it may well still be first because it crosses over into West Yorkshire. So it might still be first West Yorkshire who run it. But it's always been one of those buses that you can get a West Yorkshire Day ticket or a Greater Manchester Day ticket, which will cost you about a fiver these days. And you can use it for either end of the route.
And am I right in saying it's one of the few buses, and I've been on a couple of buses with you, that has bullhorns on the top deck on the side because of all the trees it passes, and it has to whack the trees away from the actual bus?
Yeah, absolutely. The 18 up to Rochdale as well, and oh, there's plenty of them.
Yeah, you don't realise until you're on there, and you think, hey, blooming heck, it's got bullet. Hey, brilliant. And
you're cracking it with sycamore.
And for those listeners who are from Yorkshire, who are going, oh, you've not mentioned Huddersfield. Huddersfield's delightful when you get up there. The main train station there is gorgeous. Mm. There's a statue of Harold Wilson out front, and the new Rugby League Museum's there as well in that main square. So
exactly.
The George Hotel. But yeah, Birke, thank you for that. Coming on and explaining to us.
Whoa, sorry.
Yes.
Ben, we're only halfway through the route.
Sorry.
We've not even got to Uppermill yet.
Oh, Uppermill. I do apologise. Uppermill.
Ben, I think we have to save it for next week. We have to do the second half next week.
It's like that which way bus. It just takes too long.
Yeah, I mean, God only knows what happens when we talk about the old 22 from Stockport to Bolton.
I did go on it once. I regretted it.
I took a sleeping bag, a tent, and a week's worth of food. I mean, it takes forever, but I think we should save the next week's segment for the coming back bit. And you can discuss it, and you can get some more information.
And for those people who this is a great feature for those people who are stuck at home due to COVID, you know, look at the empty bus driving past with the bus driver sticking to his timetable, and you know, just wants to get on a bus. And hopefully, you know, it's come across loud and clear that the 184 is one of those bus routes you need to get on when all this is done, and you can get outside, get on the 184, get on it outside Oxfam. And go all the way up through those delightful areas Birky talked about.
Indeed, and we'll find out next week what it's like to come back. Or indeed, if you want to come back, because once you're in Huddersfield, what's the point? Anyway, Birky, the Clipper Card Kid, it's been absolutely wonderful. Insightful knowledge, encyclopedic knowledge. Although, I would really like if... Because the bus itself, you can get it from the bus station to take it, can't you?
No.
No.
You weren't listening.
No,
it's
no.
From Oldham Street, at the bottom of Oldham Street.
But where does it start? I mean, Morrison's. You just come out of a bus station.
Morrison's.
Oldham Street.
Yeah.
It actually starts on Oldham Street.
Yeah, on Piccadilly Gardens. Now,
okay. That's why I said Oldham Street.
Yeah, I know, but all those bus stops have like an A, a B, a P, a D, or whatever. I would like to know for this time next week, Birky, if you could find out exactly what information is on the bus stop itself. That would be wonderful.
I could tell you that information in the next 30 seconds. Hang on.
Anyway, until next week.
I'm gonna.
I do want to find out.
I'm going to have a guess, Birke. A, B. Bus stop A, B. Or well, something like that.
Let's have a nosy. Oh. You're not going to believe this.
Did I nail it?
No.
Oh.
The 184 doesn't run at the minute.
That's your breaking news next week. Oh, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, for all those of you that were waiting patiently at the bus stop, it's not there.
Oh, well...
Oh, actually, no, breaking news. It does still run, but it goes from Oldham to Huddersfield instead. It's been curtailed because of the current situation.
Oh,
I see. So what would one do if you... Leave it to next week.
Don't bother.
Yeah,
stay home. Stay home. Stay safe. Don't get the 184 bus. It doesn't even leave from the bus stop you think it does. Birke, thank you so much. And we'll speak to you next week. Bye-bye, my friend.
Thank you. Bye, then.
Birke, what's your podcast?
Oh, I've not done a podcast of it yet.
Well, you have now.
Although that is
you
possibly
have
in the works. I've got nothing better to do. but it's, first of all, slowertravelco.uk. You can read about my bus adventures over there. It's not as sad as it sounds if you read it in a particular light. It's all right. You know, it's a bit niche. I like it anyway. And also, if you want to hear loads of Ace tunes and all that, I do a show called Freebie Jeebies. It's an hour's worth of music where all the bands put the music available for free somewhere on the internet, usually on Bandcamp. And that's all right as well when I'm not poorly, when I'm meant to be recording it. So, yeah. There you are. Thanks for having me on, Ben and Swampy.
Take care, Birke.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
Berkey there joining us. I think that's a goer. I think that works.
I think the Clipper Card Kid. I mean, that was outstanding. That, I mean, I really enjoyed it. And we've got some vital knowledge there. I'm just looking forward next week to knowing what the bus route back is like. Because, I mean, you know, it's all well and good getting there, Ben, but you've got to get back.
We're nearly at the end of the show.
Couple of things, Ben, I'd like to raise. And I did raise it with... a couple of interesting things. Because Winter Watch is on. It's back on, isn't it? Winter Watch. Yay! Yeah, you know, Berkey's a big fan of... big fan of Spring Watch and Autumn Watch and Winter Watch. But... the sounds that animals make. Now, do you need to know an animal makes a certain sound? Well, yes, you do, and you can find it in the Vimto Book for Scholars, which is actually an official book.
What is that you've got in your hand there? What is that?
That is actually an official book.
The Vimto book, Knowledge is Power. What is this?
Yeah, it's a Vimto book. It's a new Vimto book for Scholars, Knowledge is Power. And this was a book that used to be produced on a regular basis by Vimto and given out to schools. In there, two things I've learned. The sound of a peacock. What does a peacock... what's the sound given to a peacock? Yeah, that's a crow, Ben.
No, that's a peacock at Heaton Park. That's the noise of me. Like that.
That sounds like a peacock having a fight with a crow. But anyway, it's not a peacock makes a scream.
What I just did.
That was you screaming?
Yeah, like a peacock.
Oh. There you go, Ben. Yeah. Well,
knowledge is power. Knowledge is power.
Not only are we getting bus routes, we're getting you doing great audio sounds of peacocks. The other one, though, is a cow.
Moo?
No. It's a very strange one.
No, it definitely does moo.
It does. I thought it moos, but no. According to the Vimto Book of Knowledge, and for scholars, knowledge is power, a cow laws. L-A-W-S. It laws.
Yeah, it goes like that, doesn't it?
Doesn't go so it laws. So it's amazing. A cow laws.
Wow, knowledge is power. Quiz question. Think of what can do now that I couldn't do before this show.
Well, you can now know you can do an absolute perfect impression of a
peacock.
Of a peacock.
Yep.
Yeah.
There we go.
Meeting a cow. And the last thing, I mean, you know, I've got to just mention the new FC United kits.
Can we save this till next week? Because we are going to be here till April. So, you know, keep it...
We will do.
We don't want to... I've said this before, Swampy. This show is an important part of the FC United democratic process. And we don't want to interfere and impede the FC United democratic process by influencing the vote, do we? So, I think...
That, no. You know... Just don't vote for a shirt that looks like another tractor...
That might be somebody's preference. You can't influence the vote. Don't influence the vote, Swamper. I thought
the vote already gone.
I know, but you don't want people kicking themselves going, oh, he's right, and I voted for that top. Don't.
Well, they should. Okay. On a serious note, Ben, though, I do want to just say a couple of things. My personal condolences go out to Alison Stopford, who's her husband, Mark, and good friend. And a good comrade, a wonderful, wonderful human being, unfortunately passed away over the last couple of weeks. And he's going to be sadly missed. People might remember him and know him if you were buying your programme at FC United in Manchester. He was a well-tattooed gentleman with all sorts of political and musical tattoos and absolutely fantastic guy. And the news was a great shock and still remains a great shock to many of us. Mark, you'll be missed, sadly. And Alison, you'll have all the support and love from everybody else going forward from FC United.
Mark, going back in time here, but Mark was a referee at the branch tournament that we had at the JJB near the Trafford Centre. He was one of the referees. And I don't know if anyone remembers the branch football tournament we had. It was carnage, right?
Everyone
had ringers. It was ridiculous. I mean, to be fair to the central branch that I was part of, there was only me and John part of that branch. So, you know, for us to have a five-a-side team, but we didn't expect everyone else to do the same. So, you know,
I think we had about three or four ex-players for us, playing for us, or actually current players at the time. And we're like, don't crop them, they're playing on Saturday against Skem. So come on, Carlos. Carlos Rocca and Jerome Wright. I mean, you know, hey, I'm not saying we won the tournament.
What great segue here, Swampert. Look out on Monday for the second part of FC Legends, the new podcast we're doing. This week, it's going to be with Carlos Rocca. Last week was with Jerome Wright. It was a bit of a different one with Jerome because he's been across 10 seasons. We basically went through the seasons one by one and it was awfully broad brushed. But Carlos had a load of seasons as well. So I'm looking forward to that one. I'm interviewing him tomorrow. It's going to be
really, really, really interesting. Great, great footballer for FC United Manchester. Loved by many. And equally, happy birthday in the last week to a couple of ex-FC United players. Most notably, and not being disparaging to everybody else, because I can't remember you all, Michael Norton.
Happy birthday,
40 years of age.
40?
Only 40, yes. I'm sure he signed for us when he was 40.
Well, if Neil Reynolds is listening, you need to sign him. He's still got it. Oh, no, he's manager at New Mills now, isn't he?
But, quite a few people. And also Nick Swirard. Nick Swirard is obviously a Malaysian international now. But he hosts, I don't know if you've ever seen it, but he hosts a show like this, but he has proper footballers on. He has, like, Premier League footballers, World Cup winners, and he just there, and he just rips them to bits. He becomes more Mancunian, and he was on with Micah Richards, and he just laid into Micah Richards. And last week, it was with Alonso, who played for Liverpool. Alonso was trying to make him an honorary Liverpool fan. He said, listen, mate, I've seen loads of leagues being won. You've only won one. Oh, he's brilliant. You get onto it. His show is really, really good. And he hosts it with a female presenter who's very famous in Malaysia. Really good show. But plenty to talk about next week, Ben. I know you've got to go. You've got the kids are swimming down the Mersey. They didn't mean to be, but they've just left school. And basically, they've been flooded out.
They're being homeschooled. They're being homeschooled.
Oh, my goodness. Me. I don't know how that's going to go.
I'm going to send Gavin Williamson an invoice. I'm doing a hell of a job.
Ben, he wouldn't know what to do with it.
No, it's got numbers on it and everything. It's very confusing.
Exactly, yes. That's a good point.
Go on.
Well, until next week, Ben, it's been a wonderful 2021 opening show. And we've not talked about Trump, which is good, but we can finish with happy hour, surely, because at least, you know, we can all finish with a happy, happy, happy mood. Thank you very much, Ben. I'm glad we've resurrected Red Rebel Radio. This has been going a long time. We've actually been on air as long as probably about the same amount of years as Carlos Rocca played for FC United of Manchester. And you'll be able to listen to Carlos in an exclusive interview with Ben coming Monday. So if you're not bored of this show, have a listen to that show on Monday. Until next week, this is Red Rebel Radio saying au revoir. Bye-bye.
Bye.
It's happy hour again. I think I might be happy if I wasn't out with them and they're happy. It's a lovely place to be. Happy that the fires will burn and
this is FCUM Radio. Lowbrow radio for a highbrow audience.